After a fun and productive tune-up in Salt Lake City, the Memphis Grizzlies Summer League team finally arrived for the 2021 NBA Summer League in Las Vegas, and they certainly were ready to take the stage and shine. A big victory over the Brooklyn Nets Summer League team that revealed plenty of fun things to look forward to over the next week as the Grizzlies continued their track to hopefully repeat as potential champions from the 2019 Summer League, but at the very least, to continue to showcase the plethora of young talent that is on this Memphis Grizzlies roster. Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Tuesday. And you should, because it's nice to see this Grizzlies team, especially many of the young and intriguing talents on the Grizzlies roster, playing so well in the showcase of the summer when it comes to the NBA. In the first segment, we'll discuss three key takeaways from the Grizzlies' victory over the Nets in the Summer League. In the second segment, we'll specifically focus on the first opportunity to see Zaire Williams and Santi Aldama in a Grizzlies uniform. And in the third segment, we'll dive into upcoming roster decisions that will be there for the Grizzlies to fill out their roster when it comes to the 15-man roster, as well as potential two-way candidates that make sense for this team to look into. Of course, you can find the show across social media, specifically on Twitter through StatsSAC, where you could also find me on Twitter. My name is Sean Coleman. I'm a credentialed media member with the Grizzlies. I've been covered the Grizzlies for over 3 years now. Your host for Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And obviously, we want to remind you of plenty of the great interviews that we've had recently with talents such as Richard Stamen and Chip Williams discussing the NBA draft as a whole and how the Grizzlies were logical with their approach and what was certainly a bit of a curveball when it came to their draft night decisions. But also, obviously, yesterday's episode, Coach Adam Cohen from Stanford University joined me to talk about all things Zaire Williams, giving us some insight as to the player and person that Zaire Williams is. Make sure to check out all those great interviews to get some in-depth analysis of the Grizzlies 2021 draft class. Also, it is August 10th, and of course, we want to send a special birthday shout-out to the face of the Grizzlies franchise, the one and only Ja Morant, who turns 22 today. Obviously, he is a talent unlike any other that the Grizzlies have ever had. One of one, second to none. Certainly want to wish him a very happy 22nd birthday. Obviously, if you were watching the Summer League, he's in the right spot to celebrate, as him, Dylan Brooks, Taylor Jenkins, and others were in attendance last night to support the Grizzlies Summer League team. But want to spend a special happy birthday shout out. Happy 22nd birthday to Ja Morant. But of course, this 2021 Summer League is a bit different than previous Summer Leagues because you have multiple years of young talents being featured this time than in the past, due to obviously the 2020 Summer League not taking place because of the pandemic. And for the Grizzlies, it's really a chance for them to fully feature just how well they have drafted over the past few years. And all of those talents were on display last night as the Grizzlies took a victory in their first matchup in Vegas. Obviously, the standout performers were Xavier Tillman and Desmond Bain. It made sense. You're starting to see a trend across Twitter, talents that are too good for Summer League. Well, Desmond Bain and Xavier Tillman, they showed it when they were on the court in Salt Lake, and they continued to show it in Vegas. Just the overall positive advantage, that net value advantage that you see Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman consistently get better at this past year when they were on the court for the actual Grizzlies, they have shown that every minute they've been on the court in both Salt Lake City and Vegas as well. On the night, Desmond Bane, 32 points, just an absolute go-to scorer for the Grizzlies. He obviously did his normal production from three, but he showed such a keen ability and confidence and great decision-making as a three-level scorer all game long 32 points, led the game in scoring, and was all needed, and every bit of those points were needed for the Grizzlies to get their victory. But the thing that stood out about Xavier Tillman was that at times, he basically was playing point center for this Grizzlies team. There were stretches where for a few minutes, he was the point guard for this Grizzlies team. He finished with 10 points and 7 assists, along with 5 rebounds and 2 blocks. But the big key about Tillman coming into the league in the 2020 draft, he arguably was the best passing big man in the 2020 draft class, and he got to show that on full display. Yes, obviously, Bane and Tillman are doing the obvious and showing that they probably are too good to be playing in the summer league. But it's the reason why they're showing they may be too good that really stands out. It's because they are featuring parts of their games that clearly needed to be worked on and that clearly show their all-around value is improving. For Bane, it's his three-level scoring. He did very good as a playmaker for stretches in this game, defending and creating his own shot. All four of those areas of Bane's game, you certainly hope he would improve upon over the offseason into next season, and he certainly is putting on a display that he is improving in those areas and is continuing to be an all-around value to a level that many did not expect for him to be this quickly in his career. And then obviously Xavier Tillman's playmaking ability for a team that last year truly struggled to have a reliable playmaker outside of Ja Morant as well as Tyus Jones, to be able to have a bit of an unorthodox source of playmaking in Xavier Tillman's ability to lead an offense when it comes to running the offense through him and him passing the ball to set up other teammates to score, that is a welcome sight for a team that truly does need as much facilitation as possible, especially with its lack of shot creation right now. Having Xavier Tillman as a reliable playmaker certainly stands out. However, beyond Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman showing a clear improved ability when it comes to their ability to be playmakers and facilitators, it was a team effort as well. The Memphis Grizzlies Twitter account showed a wonderful highlight of the Grizzlies rotating the ball around the perimeter and finding a matchup that they liked. In this specific instance, they rolled the ball around from the right corner around the perimeter to find a favorable matchup with Zaire Williams in the left corner, who then took the ball off the bounce to the rim to find a very high percentage shot and get the finish. That certainly is an encouraging sign as well. Obviously, we all know the Grizzlies put a heavy emphasis on assists. That's one of the first things Taylor Jenkins looks at in post-game press conferences. So the ability for the Grizzlies to not only now have other individual sources of playmaking and facilitation in Bane and Tillman, but also collectively to see their young talent have the chemistry to move the ball around, that, again, it's just adding layers and layers of reliable playmaking and ball movement. That certainly is a way to overcome a lack of self-creation at this time, and it's wonderful to see. Obviously, from such a young group, that's the supporting cast for the Grizzlies moving forward in support of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. But of course, it wasn't just Xavier Tillman and Desmond Bane. You also had John Conchar as well as Killian Tilly stand out in the starting lineup as well. Particularly Conchar, who in my opinion, he may be the best source of non-scoring value in the summer league. There may not be a player who adds more value, who contributes more to winning outside of scoring than John Conchar in Vegas. Once again, across the board production, when it came to defense, as well as rebounding, as well as playmaking, he knows that he doesn't need to be a source of scoring in this setup in the summer league. Conchar knows his responsibility is to contribute in as many ways as possible and to make a big difference in areas where it's needed, like rebounding, playmaking, as well as defense. He continues to show how he is so impactful in so many ways every time he's on the court. But perhaps the biggest and most pleasant surprise from this game was the overall scoring potential of Killian Tilly, who both inside and out provided good scoring touch, as well as the fact that he hit 6 threes, 6 from 10 on the night from three. He really was a nice compliment to Desmond Bane and was a big reason why this Grizzlies starting lineup was so much more productive than the Nets starting lineup, which made the difference in the game. And the reason why that's important is our third observation is that once you get past the starting lineup for the Grizzlies, in this game, it was It was Zaire Williams, Killian Tilley, Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, and John Cotchar. If you get past the starting lineup, in this game at least, there was a clear drop-off when it came to the production. The starting lineup was so efficient on offense and so effective on defense, but when it got to the reserves, there was a clear drop-off in production. Once we got to the middle of the fourth quarter, in the game, the Grizzlies at one point were 22 of 64 from the field. Killian Tilley and Desmond Bane had made 13 of the Grizzlies' 22 shots. Outside of those two, at that point in the game, the rest of the Grizzlies' roster, besides Tilley and Bane, were 9 of 33 from the field and 1 of 16 from 3. The starting lineup did so much heavy lifting in this game that it just was absolutely clear that the advantage created by the starting lineup certainly was needed to overcome the disadvantage that was there from the Grizzlies' reserves in this game. And that's expected with the level of talent that you're seeing play in these games, the fact that they're all playing together for the first time. Those type of clear differences in talents that are going to be played in the NBA and have played on these levels before versus talents that have not, you expect that kind of drop-off. And it certainly is encouraging that we're likely going to see both Yves Pons and Sam Merrill help to boost the overall production of the bench unit for the rest of the Summer League in Vegas. But if the Grizzlies, and however much you want to put on Summer League, that's fine. But at the end of the day, this Grizzlies team is very competitive. You certainly would love to see this Summer League team be in the mix with other teams for the Summer League title. You could certainly see them do it with how well Tillman and Bane are playing and how collectively well this defense can play, especially when you add Pons into the equation. So you would love to see a bit more production from the bench, but overall, it certainly was a great debut in Vegas for this Grizzlies team, especially with how dominant Bane was on offense, how effective as a playmaker Xavier Tillman was at times on offense, and how good, you know, Killian Tilley supported, you know, Bane and Tillman with his shooting and Conchar with his all-around play. But at the end of the day, those were expected outcomes for Bane, Tillman, Conchar, and even Tilley to an extent. But the narrative of the day, the one thing that many were looking forward to were the Summer League debuts of Zaire Williams and Santi Aldama. Coming up, going to discuss their debuts and how, while the numbers may not necessarily suggest it was a clear positive debut, there were plenty of flashes of really good things to come from both Williams and Aldama. Through this Summer League showcase, obviously the Grizzlies are looking for ways to continue to improve their roster as they move forward in the future. And that means that they may have to make upgrades on past parts of their roster. Well, the thing about it is this, is just like the Grizzlies roster, you take the same approach when it comes to your car. Sometimes some parts need to be upgraded. And if you need to do that, a great source for you to use is RockAuto.com, the title sponsor of today's show. RockAuto.com is great for a variety of reasons. For one, it's very easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you'll likely find what you need. And regardless of the make and model, regardless of the parts that you need, you're likely to find them at RockAuto.com. This is a family-owned business. They've been in business for over 20 years. They know that car parts, that if you need to make upgrades when it comes to your car, car parts could fall outside of the budget. So they try to make things as economically as friendly as possible for you to be able to consistently go back to them as a source for your car part needs. When you go to rockauto.com, let them know the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. On tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, we're going to shine the spotlight on Jonas Valanciunas, his time here with the Grizzlies, how special he was, the overall impact I want to stop short of saying the word legacy because that's not the right word, but he certainly made a big impact with his overall level of play and his overall personality, mindset, and just support that he showed to this young roster both on and off the court. Tomorrow, we're going to shine the spotlight of Jonas Valanciunas' time in Memphis and how absolutely wonderful it was both for the franchise and the fans. So obviously, the Grizzlies had several standout performers in last night's game against the Brooklyn Nets in their summer league debut in Vegas. But while Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, John Conchar, and Killian Tilly were the biggest reasons why the Grizzlies won, all eyes were on the debut of the duo of rookies that the Grizzlies took in the 2021 NBA draft. Now, before they were able to play, obviously, both Zaire Williams and Santi Aldama's availability depended on the Grizzlies' trades from draft week and draft night being processed and being completed. Well, once that was done, both Aldama and Williams were finally able to play. And the fact that both of them signed their rookie deals showed that both of them are going to be a part of this roster. There had been speculation that Santi Aldama may be a draft and stash option to put him over in, you know, Europe once again this next season, and then the Grizzlies can bring him over in the future. That's no longer the case. Both of these players will be a part of the Grizzlies roster, and while their roles with the actual Memphis Grizzlies are yet to be determined, they will be in the fold throughout the entire season as they start their development to becoming key members of the future of the Memphis Grizzlies. Well, that started last night, and for Zaire Williams, it certainly had much more positives than negatives. Now, obviously, there were a few moments in which just getting acclimated to the overall opportunity for him not only to play in front of fans, as he stated, for the first time since he was in high school, but also, obviously, the jitters that came with debuting with his NBA team. While it's not official, it is the unofficial start of his NBA career. It certainly was a big moment for Zaire Williams. But as Adam Cohen mentioned yesterday, one thing that stands out about Williams is that no matter how big the moment is, how big the stage is, no matter how difficult the circumstances, one thing that stands out about Zaire Williams is he has the same approach, mentality, and personality when it comes to making the most of those opportunities, and he certainly did that yesterday. Overall, the numbers were positive, but not overwhelming. 3 of 7 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. He did hit 2 free throws, had 7 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal, also 1 block. So you see right from the start, there is certainly an initial indication that Williams does have potential to add value across the board, both on offense and defense. And obviously, his overall impact started off with the bang, as he was able to catch a steal on the run and take it down court and slam it home for his 2 points of the summer league. But it was the flashes that you saw from Williams that really stood out. One big key was just how fluid the flow of his game was. Obviously, the athleticism shines, but the instinct and intelligence that goes along with that athleticism really stands out as well. A big thing, in my opinion, that stands out about Williams is that for someone as athletic as he is, but still what many consider to be certainly still a very raw prospect, his footwork feels advanced for the type of profile that he is. His ability to create space on his own with the ball and without the ball certainly stands out. While he's obviously handling the ball, his footwork to be able to create space or set up an opportunity to create a play for others also stands out. But it's not just offensively. As Chip Williams had discussed last week, as Adam Cohen discussed on yesterday's episode, the overall footwork ability, his ability to move laterally, to stay with smaller guards, really stood out. There was one play in the second half of the game in which I can't remember if it was against Cam Thomas. It was against a smaller, quicker Brooklyn Nets guard. Zaire Williams was able to stay with the player, was able to keep him from driving, and it led to a bad pass by the Brooklyn Nets offensive player that Williams was guarding. It obviously led to a turnover. That is the type of defensive impact that certainly attracted the Grizzlies to Williams, as not only being a shot creator and a facilitator on offense, but also being a two-way contributor. You saw the athleticism on his ability to get to the rim in terms of being a cut option. You saw it on the baseline when he was able to get by his man and score at the rim. One thing that certainly stood out there was while a big part of his game that he needs needs to improve upon is his ability to finish. The fact that he was able to use his length and athleticism to his advantage to be able to get to the rim in a half-court setup was very, very encouraging. And though overall he didn't have the best of shooting nights, there were a couple of occasions where he did set up his own shot from distance, a really encouraging sign as well, and a really, really needed skill set that this Grizzlies team needs, especially from the wing position. So in many different ways, Zaire Williams' overall debut was certainly a positive. Yes, he's not going to sit there and take over a game like a Jalen Green or even a Cade Cunningham or a Jalen Suggs will at this point. You're not expecting for him to do that, but you want to at least see there be more positive flashes than negative flashes, and that certainly was the case last night. In the case of Santi Aldama, not as much positive flashes, but that's kind of what you expect. Aldama's transition to the game is going to take even more time than Zaire Williams likely will, because Aldama facing this level of competition is not something that he's regularly done. Yes, he showed well in international competitions, you know, over in Europe, but obviously his level of play at Loyola Maryland, our level of competition at Loyola Maryland, is not to the extent that he's facing even in the summer league. But there certainly was a focus on having him out on the perimeter, but he would go in. There was the ability to see that the Grizzlies liked the idea of him being able to make impact both inside and outside. There were struggles, obviously, finding his shooting form. He was able to convert a great pass from Xavier Tillman for a layup for his lone points of the game. But on offense, he did not seem to be as in sync, obviously, as the starters did, and that's to be expected. But it certainly seems he knows what to do with the ball. You saw a bit of flashes when it came to his playmaking ability. A great thing about him for his size is his ability to do things off the dribble. You saw a little bit of that on a few offensive possessions. So obviously not the positive flashes to the level that Zaire Williams showed, but Santi Aldama did at least seem to know what to do with the ball, and he did seem to show a few of the things that really intrigued the Grizzlies about him: his ability to work off the dribble for a guy his size, and also his ability to operate on the perimeter and as an inside-out threat on offense. Defense is a bit of another story. Now, he certainly is engaged. He certainly is putting forth an effort when he was on defense, but there certainly is a bit of rawness, as a matter of fact, a significant level of rawness when it came to his ability to defend. There seems to be a proneness towards creating fouls. In 14 minutes overall, he committed three fouls on the night. It did seem also that whoever he was guarding did have a pretty easy time getting around him, or at least putting pressure on him to get to the rim when he was on the perimeter. So Aldama's defense certainly is a work in progress that may never be a strong part of his game, even as he continues to develop. But you did see a few flashes of what made him intriguing to the Grizzlies. There certainly seems to be a comfort level with Aldama for him to put the ball on the court and do things on the perimeter that you normally don't see with guys his size. And if the Grizzlies, while it may take, you know, a bit of time, it's going to take a slow process, if the Grizzlies can really work with him to be an effective inside-outside option, especially off the bench, as this season goes along and obviously beyond this season, that's where they will start to find clear value that made his pick worth it in the first round. So encouraging starts for both Santi Aldama and Zaire Williams. It's obviously going to take quite a bit of time to develop both, but you have to feel comfortable with the fact that, as Taylor Jenkins mentioned, specifically to Zaire Williams, he simply wanted the rookies to go out, have fun, and compete. That's exactly what both of them did, and both of them showed multiple flashes of the immense potential that they have to be key contributors for this Grizzlies team moving forward. But obviously, much of the Grizzlies' overall main roster going into the 2021-2022 season is known. However, there could be a few decisions to be made. What's going to make it tough is that there's so many intriguing talents that the Grizzlies are going to have to choose from to fill those final spots on the roster and when it comes to their two-way positions. Coming up, we'll look at a bit more into a few talents that really could make the Grizzlies' decisions tough when it comes to finalizing their roster for next season. Every August, it seems like that when it comes to the sports world, while obviously you still have baseball, you still have MMA, you still have several sports around the world to enjoy, when you enter August, the thing that really stands out and gets exciting is that you're 1 month away from college and professional football returning. And if you're someone that enjoys wagering and betting on sports, that certainly is a significant development when it comes to your ability to enjoy the things that you enjoy as a fan. Well, if wagering and betting is something that you enjoy doing, BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way for you to get all of your sports action. Get all the latest news and odds for info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NFL, UFC, MMA action, any sport that's going on. BetOnline.ag not only will have present opportunities for you to enjoy betting and wagering on odds, but also future opportunities, like, for instance, the reveal in recent weeks of the MVP odds for next year from BetOnline.ag, as well as title odds for the 2021-2022 season. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs in the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and put in the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit BetOnline.ag today. Once again, on tomorrow's Locked On Grizzlies podcast, the spotlight is going to be on Jonas Valanciunas. What made him so special? How he made an impact on and off the court? And also, a bit of insight on, now with Steven Adams basically being Jonas's replacement from the trade that brought Adams over for Jonas last week, what areas on the court will Adams improve, but also what areas on the court will the Grizzlies potentially struggle in going from Jonas Valanciunas to Steven Adams? We'll look at all that tomorrow on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Well, speaking of the roster for the Grizzlies, that certainly is something that will remain a big focus for this Grizzlies team moving forward. Now, last week, and we, you know, a few times this offseason, I've broken down, obviously, the fact that the Grizzlies have the overwhelming majority of their roster returning next year. But right now, the Grizzlies actually have, with the signing of Zaire Williams and Santi Aldama to their rookie contracts, the Grizzlies basically have 17 players in line for the 15 roster spots on this roster. Now, obviously, the first domino to fall was the fact that Santi Aldama will be a part of the roster instead of being a draft and stash option, to where he would not have been a part of the roster had he not signed his rookie contract. Aldama will be with the Grizzlies and will be a part of the main roster. So what that means is that with having 17 clear options for 15 spots, some decisions are going to have to be made. And the four players, in my opinion, that really come to mind in terms of a duo of vets and a duo of young players where a decision is going to have to be made is when it comes to Tyus Jones and Eric Bledsoe, or as well as Killian Tilly and the newly acquired Sam Merrill. Now, when it comes to Eric Bledsoe and Tyus Jones, the reason why they stand out as the first duo where a decision needs to be made is because that's where the Grizzlies have two veterans that could make sense in trade packages elsewhere to other teams that are, you know, considered to be more clear contenders than the Grizzlies. Both Bledsoe and Tyus Jones could make sense. Now, obviously, Bledsoe with his contract is not necessarily going to be a priority for any team. Tyus Jones could be, with how productive he is as a backup point guard. But at the end of the day, whether it's trading Tyus Jones or Bledsoe, or it's potentially waiving and buying out Bledsoe, it makes sense for the Grizzlies to choose between one or the other as the main secondary backup point guard to back up Ja Morant, while also obviously gaining whatever potential future asset they can from trading off the veteran that they decide not to keep. That may not necessarily be Bledsoe. At the end of the day, you're not going to get anything beneficial for just him, and with how the trade worked out, the Grizzlies can't really, they can't add another player to Bledsoe in a trade for their foreseeable future. So if Bledsoe is traded off, you're not going to get much for him just simply because you're moving off his salary. And if you were to waive or buy him out, obviously that simply means that it was best for both player and roster to part ways. So that's where the first decision for this roster comes down to. Between Tyus Jones and Eric Bledsoe, which one of those two potentially could be on the market in a trade, but if that doesn't work out, does this Grizzlies team decide to part ways with Eric Bledsoe for him to go find an opportunity elsewhere? But to me, the more intriguing decision, now that Aldama is in the fold for this season, is that final spot on the roster that comes down to Killian Tilly and Sam Merrill. Now, Sam Merrill's contract is already guaranteed for this season, but if the Grizzlies decide that they want to take advantage of the restricted free agency rights they put on Killian Tilly, if the Grizzlies felt that Killian Tilly was the more intriguing talent than Sam Merrill, they certainly have an easy way of being able to waive Merrill, sign Tilly to a contract like Jontay Porter signed last offseason, and then you have your roster filled out. And between those two, I do think Killian Tilly stands out as the preferred option. I, like several others in Grizzlies fandom, I do have a high opinion of Merrill, especially when it comes to seeing what he can do with Taylor Jenkins. But at the end of the day, it's when it comes to their overall potential moving forward, Killian Tilly is younger, likely is a more intriguing talent to add value outside of shooting, and he also certainly has the advantage, having been already, signed to a two-way deal last year by this team, but also having been in the fold. The Grizzlies obviously know far more about what they have in Tilly than what they have in Merrill, despite the fact that Merrill spent a bit of time with the Grizzlies team in the summer, in the G League bubble last season. So when it comes to that decision, I think that roster-wise, it probably makes sense to keep Merrill just because you do need another perimeter source to basically take the spot of Grayson Allen, but also you've really got that keen shooting ability that you know Taylor Jenkins can take advantage of using off the bench. But while from a roster standpoint, it may make sense to go with Merrill, I think in terms of a future value standpoint, Killian Tilly, in my opinion, is the more talented player, has the more intriguing future. And while Yester may be a bit of a logjam at the, in terms of young bigs, when it comes to Tillman, Clark, Aldama, and now Tilly, all four of those players backing up what you already have, and Jaren Jackson Jr. at the four or five, Steven Adams at the five, and Kyle Anderson at the four. At this point in time, it's okay for logjams to be there for the Grizzlies if they feel they have a roster full of talents that are going to continue to develop into significant contributors. So when it comes to both Merrill and Killian Tilly, I don't think there's a situation in which both of those players are going to be kept. And it seems like that, especially if Tilly plays like he did last night, if he continues to play like that in the starting lineup, he's going to make a case that's going to make the Grizzlies have a hard time ignoring it. And I do think that he becomes the preference if it comes down to him and Merrill for a roster spot. Because I don't think that the Grizzlies are going to wind up keeping both, because I don't think that the Grizzlies are, it makes sense for them to move on both from Bledsoe and Tyus Jones in trades or buyouts or what have you. Because then if the Grizzlies move on from both Jones and Bledsoe, you've got a significant hole to fill when it comes to a reliable ball handler and decision maker if Ja Morant is off the court. I don't think the Grizzlies want to face that type of reality. So at the end of the day, with the roster in which you have 15 spots and 17 clear options to choose from, I think it comes down to what the future may hold for Tyus Jones or Eric Bledsoe when it comes to trades or other type of transactions. And when it comes to Sam Merrill or Killian Tilly, which do the Grizzlies prefer as another young development piece going into next season? Obviously, though, with that being decided upon when it comes to the main roster itself, there are a few two-way positions that the Grizzlies could also utilize. Last year, obviously, that was Killian Tilly or Sean McDermott. I don't think McDermott has an inside track this season. I think it's pretty clear that there are a multitude of more intriguing options on the Grizzlies' current Summer League roster than Sean McDermott. That's nothing against him. It's just a simple reality of the roster that's there. You have talents like a Yves Pons, like a Romeo Weems, like a Keaton Wallace that really could emerge as a two-way option. Do I know if both two-way options are going to be on this current Summer League roster? I don't. I do think that Yves Pons is someone that could have an inside track to one of those two-way spots because of the fact that I think the Grizzlies really, really could value and utilize his skill sets well. So Yves Pons does, all biased aside for me personally, Yves Pons does stand out as being a strong candidate for one of the two-way positions. It'll be interesting to see who else emerges as an option as the Summer League goes forward. So many different things to talk about and enjoy when it comes to the NBA Summer League. A great overall debut for this Grizzlies team as they try to defend their title from 2019. It's going to be certainly fun to watch. Hopefully with Pons and Merrill back into the equation, you can get a bit more consistency from the Grizzlies Summer League bench to support the starting lineup. Obviously, as always, it's been a pleasure having you here for this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. You can find myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. My name's Sean Coleman. Coming up tomorrow, talking all things Jonas Valanciunas, how much he meant to this Grizzlies roster over the past few years, both on and off the court, and how his presence in some ways is going to be improved upon with the addition of Steven Adams, but in others, there's going to be a clear decline in needed areas of production. We're going to look at all that on tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Until then, hope you have a great night, and we'll talk to you again soon. Also, it is August 10th, and of course, we want to send a special birthday shout-out to the face of the Grizzlies franchise, the one and only Ja Morant, who turns 22 today. Obviously, he is a talent unlike any other that the Grizzlies have ever had. One of one, second to none. Certainly want to wish him a very happy 22nd birthday. Obviously, if you were watching the Summer League, he's in the right spot to celebrate as him, Dylan Brooks, Taylor Jenkins, and others were in attendance last night to support the Grizzlies Summer League team. But want to spend a special happy birthday shout-out. Happy 22nd birthday to Ja Morant.